Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Jeff, welcome back, and thank you for joining us.
For sure, Newell. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, last week we were talking, everyone, about the Saints being the line 16.5 points down. They said the largest since 1975, largest spread since 1975. I don't know if that's what motivated the Saints, but I thought they played much better football, competitive football yesterday, physical football yesterday. They come out on the losing end again. Couple of breaks, and things could be very different.
Yeah, you know, the line is there's no moral victories in the NFL, but I don't know. I disagree with that. When you're in a season like the Saints are in, and you have a lot that you need to prove to yourself, and you have a lot of players that are trying to prove that, you know, they should have a job in the NFL – there are such things as moral victories, just in the sense that you can't play like you did in Seattle. And I don't think the line was really, you know, I don't think that everyone's saying the Bills are a really great team and you're going to have a really tough time going out there and winning. I don't think that was the motivation, more so like you don't want to put tape out like you did in Seattle. Like, you need, as a coaching staff, as a team, to show up and play better, to play like you have a chance. Right. And yeah. And that's what they did, you know, like, because if you put back to back games out like you had in week three, suddenly there's alarm bells going off and you're asking questions about the coaching. You're asking questions about whether you bench the quarterback, whether you need to bench starters, whether you need to trade people. And what they did with this game was avoid a lot of that. That doesn't mean you won. That doesn't mean an 0-4 start feels any better, but it does mean that you can come home and at least continue to say, hey, we're building towards something, because that's what this season is about. And you know, you may have gone in with some pie in the sky ideas of, oh, they're gonna play a lot better than everyone expected them to. The reality is you're in a take your medicine type season. You're hopeful that you can find a way to pick up some wins here and turn things around and keep the playoffs in the picture as long as possible. But what you at least did with that performance is prove to people that, hey, you can come home and potentially beat the Giants this week, right? Like, that's where I'm at with it.
No, absolutely. And what I loved about it is, you know, we picked up an interception, really nice play. I think it was a rookie who actually made that play, obviously. And, you know, I mean, it was just – and you see things like that. It was a great play on that ball too. He covered a lot of territory, got over there. He read the quarterback. He loved seeing that, and it led to good things. We couldn't string a whole lot of things together, but I mean, it was just, I don't know. It's hard to describe, but it was just one of those feelings. I just felt so much better about the team. They fought back when they went down. They fought back, right? And they came right back and scored. I thought Rattler had a good game, quite frankly. Couple of passes that he missed. If it had been the ball 6 inches higher, we might have scored a touchdown or two, you know, and things would have been different.
Yeah, so Jonas Sanker, I thought Jonas had a great game, and he's one of the guys that you come out of that game looking at and be like, all right, maybe we have something here. You know, it's playoff baseball is starting soon, and I think, you know, one of the things about a great rangy safety is the same thing that's important with a center fielder in baseball, is, you know, the plays in baseball in the outfield are often made on that first step. If you have a quick first step, you can get to a ball and make it look routine that other guys just won't get to because you don't waste that motion. And what Sanker did really well on that play is he just read it immediately. He broke on it early, and he's able to get over there. And that can be the difference between a big play up the sideline and a moment where you could seize momentum, or a big takeaway. That was Josh Allen's first interception of the season. He's not a guy that throws the ball to the other team. So that was a big moment there. But, you know, what followed was probably the story of that game. And, like, you did a lot of the things you needed to do to give yourself a chance to win, right? Like, you got a turnover. You ran the ball. You know, you avoided penalties. You had four penalties all day. Three of them came on special teams. The only penalty was an intentional grounding on Spencer Rattler against the offense. Defense didn't have a single penalty all day. And in an environment like that, that's a huge improvement. You've had two games with double-digit penalties. In this game, the Bills were the team that had the double-digit penalties, and they were the least penalized team in the NFL going into that game. Spencer's day, it's tough to gauge. And Spencer, what I'll say about Spencer is he's a guy that is willing to do whatever it takes to win a game. He's going to put his body on the line. He cares so much about winning a game. And you can see that, and it's what makes it easier to root for him. The accuracy issues have become problematic, and there's just two or three throws in every game where it's like, you got to have that throw, right? And you know, the throw to Cooks at the end, not at the end, but, you know, with a chance to take a lead. Like, the Saints were in that game with a chance to take a lead midway through the fourth quarter. All they needed, they were down in the red zone. All they needed to do was connect on what was a pretty wide open throw, and it looked a lot like the throw he made to Chris Olave against the 49ers, where it's like, you got to throw it early, but you got to be able to read that break. And I don't know, I think he was trying to protect him a little bit by leaving the ball behind him, but you can't leave it behind him and low. And Cooks almost, I think he did rescue it personally. I thought that was a pretty bold overturn based on the angles I saw, because if it was called a touchdown on the field, I didn't see it touch the ground. It looked like it might have, but, you know, every officiating crew has different definitions of indisputable, it seems. Either way, you know, it's like those are the throws. It's like those are the winning moments that you need the quarterback to provide. And that's often the difference between winning and losing games. And so it's a little frustrating, and it's tough to gauge, because I love Spencer. I love the way he plays. I love his mentality. I love the way he, you know, is able to take the ball and run it. But I don't love that you haven't had an explosive play in 2 weeks. I don't love that you miss these opportunities in critical moments. And so that's what makes it tough. And you're looking at it and saying, well, we got Tyler Shuck sitting over here. We're 0-4. At some point, you have to start having that conversation. I don't know if it's this week. I don't think you make a change coming off that game because you knew what that game was going to be. But I think week five is a really big week for Spencer, you know, in terms of just showing that he can come in a matchup that, you know, dare I say the word winnable matchup against the Giants. You know, he's got to go out there and look like a quarterback who can lead you to a win, because at a certain point, not being the reason you lose isn't enough to keep that job. Right. Like, I think it has been so far, but I do think that changes. And I don't want it to sound like I'm down on Spencer. I really do like what Spencer has done. He just needs to elevate a few more notches to get to the point of being a winning quarterback in the NFL. And to this point, I just don't know if he's done.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Interestingly, and we hadn't seen this in a long time, more rushing yards than passing yards.
Yeah.
189 yards. Kamara had a game, 15 attempts, 70 yards. Miller, 11 carries, 65 yards. Miller's average 5.9 and Kamara's 4.7. As a team, average carry was greater than the Bills, which no one expected that. I know I didn't.
Well, you know, I will take a little bit of credit here. Like, I went in there saying, you got to run the ball. This is one of the worst run defenses in the NFL statistically, and that proved to be true. You know, I wasn't sure if maybe that was a statistical anomaly, but based on playing the Ravens, you know, probably the best rushing team in the NFL. But they went into that game allowing a league-high 156 rushing yards per game. They went into that game having allowed a league-high 18 rushes of 10-plus yards, 2 yards before contact, which was the 31st in the NFL, and then like 4.25 after contact, which is 31st in the NFL. So the Saints game plan going into that game was, we are going to run the ball. We're going to find a way to run the ball, and they did that. You do need to give Spencer Rattler credit there too, because he had 6 carries for 49 yards, and they were, yep. You know, a lot of them were scrambles, not a ton of designed runs, but they were important runs when they happened. But no, I think that's when you come out of this game, you know, that's a team you have to run the ball against. And but there's a difference between going in with a plan and actually executing that plan. And, you know, between the run blocking, I think it was better with Trevor Penning in there. You obviously had to change from Cesar Ruiz to Torrey Sellis-Simpkins at late in the first half with Cesar going out with an injury. But no, I think when, you know, I talked to Alvin Kamara after the game, and it's like, yeah, that's something you can build on. Like, especially for Kendre Miller, who, you know, has had some flash moments. No, he's been healthy for a month of a season for probably the first time in his career. I'm not sure if he's ever gotten through 4 games of full usage before in his career. And, you know, that touchdown run was really impressive. You know, he broke a couple tackles. He's just a guy that can create outside of the structure of the offense. And the Saints don't have a ton of guys on the offense that can do that. So, no, I mean, if you can continue to run the ball effectively, that makes life a lot easier. And I do think that wins will follow. If you can be a good rushing team and you can support your quarterback that way, you're going to win games. You're going to have easier matchups. And no, you're spot on. That was a very, very positive thing that the Saints got in this game.
Yeah, and I only say that because of the iffiness of the front line. You know, we've not really had the same people out on the field. But what I really loved is how many times Buffalo safeties had to make tackles on these rushers. So they weren't being taken down, you know, at the line of scrimmage. There were some great lanes and seams that were established. And, you know, when you see Kamara go through a hole and he starts to take off, it's like at any given moment, he could run himself free for a touchdown. And obviously, Miller's the same style runner.
Yeah, and I appreciate that it's become a legitimate tandem. Like, that's when Alvin Kamara was at his best. It was not workhorse Alvin Kamara. It was, hey, we've got Alvin Kamara and we're pairing him with a complementary type runner. Even with Latavius Murray, you had a legitimate secondary guy, but the peak was Mark Ingram early in Alvin's career, where you had both guys, you know, as a 1,000-yard rusher early in their career, or at least close to 1,000 yards. I obviously Alvin has never gone over 1,000 yards. But and that's what this is looking like now, where you have Alvin getting 15 carries for 70 yards, Kendre getting 11 carries for 65 yards. Like, that's at this point in Alvin's career, you do him a lot of good by not asking him to bang his head against a brick wall 20 times a game, because that allows him to take advantage of the situations you put him in. And it also allows you to get a little more creative and get him touches in non-traditional ways. I really would love to see them get a little more creative with their running back screen game, because that's something that we just haven't seen the Saints utilize very much, in the last several years, really. But that's what, you know, when you early in Alvin's career, that was a huge part of the attack with Drew Brees, and he was so good at running the screen game. But no, I think just that duo, if you can continue to kind of build that duo up, and especially with Kendre gaining confidence and momentum there, no, I think that's a good thing for this team.
Jeff, I'm trying to recall how they sacked the quarterback a couple of times as well, right?
Side? What are you talking about?
Sacked Josh Allen a couple of times, didn't they?
Yeah, the Saints got 3 sacks in the game. 2 of them came within the span of 3 plays. And, you know, it was an interesting game because the Saints played really well when the Bills were backed up, right? Like, if you look at how the Saints defense performed in that game, they took advantage of advantageous situations, right? The interception came with the Bills operating deep in their territory. You know, the interception that should have happened was deep in Bills territory as well, with Chris Rumpf coming off, and I think he hit Josh Allen's arm, and the ball was right at Pete Werner, and he just couldn't come up with it. But, yeah, and then Cam Jordan, Carl Granderson each got sacks down by the goal line. And that's a positive thing. When you can it's difficult to play defense when they're starting their drives near midfield. Like, that's going to result in points. You have to be able to take advantage when your special teams unit is able to pin them at the 3-yard line. That's where you've got to be able to tee off, and the Saints did. You know, they didn't play the run particularly well once things got toward midfield, whether it was Josh Allen or James Cook. But that was good to see some pressure, and hopefully Chase Young can get into the action here soon and add a bit of teeth to that group, because it has been tough sledding when you're not able to generate pressure consistently and a guy like Josh Allen can just kind of feast back there. But no, there was some big, nice moments from that pass rush in that game for sure.
No, absolutely. I enjoyed the game. I love when they're competitive. I mean, it's, you know, I think the public, the fan base will be a lot more, a lot easier on them if they stay competitive in these games. I agree with you. If you string together three games like the Seattle game, it'll get pretty butt ugly quick, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, if they can play with that type of efficiency and effort and avoid penalties against teams like the Giants and Patriots, we'll be having different conversations. So yeah, Hopefully they can.
For sure. Look forward to this weekend. Thank you so much for joining us. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Have a great week.
You too, Noel. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.